Thank you, Father, for your sovereign hand on us. We are not aimlessly wandering around trying to determine what is faithful today, but you've laid clearly for us in your word and lived out in your church what faithfulness looks like. I thank you for your word, which keeps us in the way of blessedness, of righteousness, Lord. Thank you that Christ is in us and as our shepherd is leading us and guiding us in the way. Pray that you'd help us to be faithful this morning as your church, to worship you well, to do this with confidence, and grow in our unity with one another, Lord. Pray this in your name. Amen. All right. Make sure you do have your worship journal, but we'll start at the back on the covenant. And we're at the fifth line now of the covenant that we're going through for the church. And it reads this: we will endeavor to bring up such as may at any time be under our care in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and by a pure and loving example to seek the salvation of our family and friends. So that's what we're going to be considering today, is how we as a church can do this faithfully with other brothers and sisters in the congregation. And the text that I want to read for us is Deuteronomy 6, those first 12 verses. You may be familiar with most of them or some of them. Deuteronomy 6, verse 1 says, "Now this is the commandment, the statutes and the rules." Actually, if you do have your Bibles, go ahead and open there. Deuteronomy 6, 1. I want you guys to be able to follow along, because there's a couple things I'm going to emphasize as we go through. Deuteronomy chapter 6. And as we're looking at the covenant, this line, this fifth line, I'm going to split it in half, and I'll explain why, but it'll come right after the in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We'll split right there. Though those two things, obviously, the whole thing needs to go together. All right, so Deuteronomy chapter 6. "Now this is the commandment, the statutes, and the rules that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you, that you may do them in the land to which you are going over to possess it, that you may fear the Lord your God, you and your son's son." All right, so just note there that this is all beginning from a place of fear of the Lord. "By keeping all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, all the days of your life, and that your days may be long. Hear therefore, O Israel, and be careful to do them, that it may go well with you, that you may multiply greatly, as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you, and in a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart." This is verse 7 now. "You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise, You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. And when the Lord your God brings you into the land that he swore to your fathers, to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob, to give you, with great and good cities that you did not build, and houses full of all good things that you did not fill, and cisterns that you did not dig, and vineyards and olive trees that you did not plant. And when you eat and are full, then take care lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery." So as mentioned, it's all stemming from a right fear of the Lord, how Israel is to live faithfully. And as they're going to this land, this rest, this dominion that's been promised to them, they have a clear kind of code of conduct, if you want to think about it that way. The very nature of their life together, their words, their conversation, all of that is to just be so watered and so saturated with the word of the Lord. What I want us to remember this morning is that this was spoken to the nation of Israel, right? They were a religious state. And as they obeyed God's commands, that the Lord would then allow them to continue and prosper in the land. All right, so that was the covenant. If you're faithful to my word, my law, you will have rest on every side. You'll flourish in this land. The Lord has already gone before them and prepared this place for them. All these things that they did not do, but they're going to now go in and get to enjoy. For us, though, in the church today, we are not in this same circumstance because we're under now this new covenant, this covenant of grace with Jesus Christ as our mediator. So now, this is where it's going to kind of hit home for us in the covenant. Now the people of God are built up not by these families, right? Because these are fathers who are speaking to their sons and it's a generational thing. The church is not built up by these families, but by parts. And there's analogies used in the New Testament for this. And so there may be a mother and a daughter in the church, but there also might be a mother here and a daughter from a different blood family there, and yet they are united as a family in the church. And so it's because of the Holy Spirit that unites us. And as we do that, we're being united not just as a collective of like-minded primarily, but we're unified in Christ under his headship in the church. And so this is what I want to point out, and this is what kind of transition us now into the church covenant, is we are responsible to our individual families that God has given to us. So I'm responsible for my wife and my two kids, but they may not be who the Lord is going to use to build up his church. And that means that there are brothers and sisters, not by blood, but by spirit, who we will be closer to and who we will be responsible for compared to just the whole world, just other Christians or other people in general. So let's tease that out a little bit more carefully, and I'm going to use the covenant to do that. So the first half of our line this morning, we will endeavor to bring up such as may at any time be under our care in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So a few parts to that I want to just kind of expound is this idea of endeavoring. We will endeavor. That's to be mindful. It's to give forethought to what you're doing. But it also demands time and energy and sacrifice. So if you're endeavoring to do something, you're putting forth a real concerted effort to that end. And so just notice what the weight that then projects onto the rest of what we're doing is this bringing up. So what are we bringing up? What are we endeavoring to bring up? Well, it's the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It's us growing up in our salvation, as Paul says. It's discipleship at the end of the day. How do we know then who we are to bring up? It's who is under our care. Well, who is under our care? If you have a immediate family, then that is necessarily under your care. Again, I'm responsible for my family, but I'm also responsible for everybody in the church directory, every member of this church I have a responsibility to. And this helps us be clear on our responsibilities. I'm not responsible for the discipleship of every Christian in the world. And in fact, I can even meet Amy, and I just had a friend in town, and we were able to spend time visiting with her and talking with her. But I'm not responsible primarily for her spiritual good. Her pastor and her church body is. If you want to think through that a little bit more theologically, chapter 27, the confession, is really helpful. We did record when we were studying through that, so you can go back through and listen specifically on that chapter. But that chapter helps communicate kind of an order of how we are to prioritize these what we're endeavoring to do, kind of these efforts. The thrust of this, though, is the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. That's what we're endeavoring to bring those who are under our care, bring them up in. And so what does that look like? Listen to Ephesians chapter 6. It says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." This is connected necessarily to the Deuteronomy passage. Fathers, as leaders of their house, are responsible for raising their children in a fear of the Lord. And what that looks like is to communicate consistently and in a balanced manner both the law of the Lord and the gospel, right? So a clear understanding of themselves and their standing before a holy God and their only hope for salvation joy and peace in this life. And so what if you're not a father or you don't have children? Well, you're still responsible. And so if you back up in Ephesians, you don't have to turn there right now, but if you back up in Ephesians to chapter 5, Paul is addressing the whole church, and he does that before then going into the specific examples of children, of husbands and wives, of masters and bond servants. And it says this in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15, "Look carefully then how you walk." So be mindful of how you're living in the church. "Not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another." Okay, here's the expectation or the privilege, responsibility, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God, the Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then listen to verse 21, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. And then Paul's going to transition into those specific dynamics or relationships in the church. But before he even gets there, he's talking about the church as a whole. So I say all of that to bring us up to a place now where we're going to get into application. So who we are responsible for is our church, this local church. And one of the reasons church membership is so important is that you can then live out your Christianity faithfully. So how do we do this? How do we bring up those who are under our care in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? The first is to utilize the ordinary means of grace, which just goes back to the line before this one in the covenant, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, nor neglecting to pray for ourselves and others. Doing this, using the means of grace here in the church, this is the primary way that the Lord is equipping his people for this very calling of living faithfully. So again, your attendance at church is more than just you being present at church. As you engage in worship with the body, you're also encouraging others. So one of the thoughts I had is, imagine if everybody showed up to church this morning and everybody had in their mind, they were convinced, "I'm just going to let everybody else sing today." Well, imagine if everybody had that same thought. Who would be singing? None of us would be singing and none of us would be encouraged. And so in the example of in Ephesians, there's just a real joy and a real work that's taking place when we are singing praises to our God together. It's good to look around and see faces and hear voices. It's even encouraging to hear the children voices giving due praise to the Lord. So sing together, but participate, engage in worship. Another way that we can do this carefully and do this well is to order our days, but then also our weeks and just very, very broad sweepingly our whole life, so that you can be discipling those who you are called to disciple, to bring these others up that you're responsible for. So that means making time for those in the church and having regular opportunity to encourage them. Discipling them towards faithfulness, reminding them of God's word, using God's word. We can't do this well with everybody, especially the bigger the church gets, the harder it is to do this with everyone. And so don't let that overwhelm you to paralysis. Just start small. Continue faithfully. Again, the two families in the worship journal are helpful bite-sized pieces of the congregation to begin with each week. But be prepared to speak biblically to one another. Scripture says it's sufficient for reproof and rebuke and correcting and training in righteousness. Let that be the tone of your words and the substance of what you're saying to one another. We don't have to rely on our own ingenuity and sentiment like the world does. We have real, eternal, weighty language that we get to use with one another. Another way that we can be doing this is participating in the sermon reviews on Wednesday night. And this is what I really mean by that. It's not just that we have more people attending those. It's that you're coming to that, hopefully, with your notes in hand, and you're able to then share specific ways you've already been applying this in your life this week, and others can be encouraged in that. And then you're also hearing and seeing ways that you can be praying for them or encouraging them further along if they're struggling to do something. And you're both hearing the same sermon. It's not like you're having to kind of figure out where they're coming from. So again, this is just a very helpful, very practical way to do this. Another one is using page 7 of the worship journal. Use that as an aid for family worship. It's meant to be simple and straightforward in engaging God, his word, and using prayer and song and catechisms. Another thing that we can be doing is being intentional to engage in conversation with one another before and after the service. Again, kind of goes a little bit back into the last line of the covenant, but showing up right before the service starts and leaving right after, it's going to be a hard time for you to build others up in Christ. But also for those who are here lingering, guard your tongue against speaking about the things of the world. Save that for Monday through Saturday. And use this unique day that the Lord's given us. Don't primarily talk about your work. And don't primarily talk about how wonderful your vacation was. Those are just parts of life, right? And those are going to be things that are talked about. Primarily, though, we've come together to encourage and point one another's eyes towards Christ. We're in a setting where we can do that well. We're not having to, like, ease our way into that conversation. We all just sat down and heard a sermon piercing our sinful hearts and giving us Christ and his righteousness. Just start there and have those conversations, asking for different ways that we can be praying for one another. I did mention last week, again, pray in the moment with one another in light of the sermon, in light of struggles that people are having. And so just again, hopefully a helpful kind of practical way we can be doing this. Again, this building up, bringing one another up in this nurture and admonition of the Lord. If you hear of a child in the church making a profession of faith, then be intentional to spend time with that family and look for fruit of salvation in their life. This is something we as the church get to do. Though that child is not a member of the church, their parents are, and you're then able to relate well and carefully with brothers and sisters and see, is this real? Is there real fruit being shown here? And how can I be encouraging that to disciple them and raise them up in their faith? That will be not just a good blessing for that individual, but what a blessing to those parents to know that they have a church family that is seeking the good of their kids. Make a point to thank others for their service and encourage efforts of faithfulness as you see it. There's a lot of people that do a lot of things behind the scenes. Some things that are done are more seen just by nature of something like a service. But if you see somebody encouraging another person, don't interrupt them. Let them keep encouraging. Afterwards, though, go and say, I overheard that. Thank you for doing that. That was really encouraging to see for me, but I can only imagine that would be helpful for them. Thank you for being faithful. Encourage that in one another as we're trying to do that for each other. But then certainly, yes, there's officers who are serving different ways, elders and deacons, but many of you are serving one another very well throughout the week. And as you're hearing of that or seeing that, even if you weren't participating in the service, still thank those who did. It's a good thing to do in encouraging each other. Another thing is to rebuke unfaithfulness. Very few people like conflict. There are some people who do, but very few people like conflict. But remember to approach this from a fear of the Lord and not from a fear of man. And so we know this is something we're called to do. If appropriate, depending on kind of the specifics of it, maybe it'd be helpful. We talked about this a little bit last week. Maybe go with another person. If it's not going to bring them into an issue, that might better be an elder. But that's a difficult, maybe uncomfortable thing to work through, but it's a good thing to be working towards. But then also, as you're doing this, keep in mind you're reflecting a righteous God, a God who is holy. And so that should give us a good confidence as we're doing it. And we're not doing it in our own strength and our own wisdom. We're doing it by the power of the Spirit in us to another brother who is united to us. Let me go ahead and transition to our second section. So we will endeavor to bring up such as may at any time be under our care in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and by a pure and loving example to seek the salvation of our family and friends. So there's a few things I didn't say in this last section I could have, but I wanted to go ahead and save some things for this. So, and by a pure and loving example, seek the salvation of our family and friends. Remember, when we're talking about pure or purity with Scripture, it doesn't mean sinless, but it means to have an undivided heart, to have a heart singularly for one thing, which is the Lord. And so sometimes we just, in our age today, just kind of stick sexual purity there. That's not the primary thrust of what we mean when we're talking about purity, though that is an aspect. This is to have an undivided heart, a heart that's not serving two masters. A loving example. Everything we need to be doing is to be done in love. And so we want to do this carefully. We want to do this graciously. We don't want to beat people over the head. Again, thinking back through this endeavoring, this seeking, there's an intentionality there. We're to be thoughtful. We're to be prepared in what we're doing. But it's for the family and friends. So that could and will be immediate family members that you have. So primarily for me, it's my two children that are not Christians. That's who I am. I am seeking their hearts more than any other heart in this world. Friends there is a little bit more broad, but a good way of thinking that through that is neighbors. It could be literal neighbors who live in your neighborhood, but it's also coworkers. It could be extended family members. It's anybody that you are regularly coming in interaction with. So we're to seek their salvation. This is for those who are they are not in the church. We're bringing and discipling and raising up those who are in the church. We're seeking the salvation of the lost. So again, utilize the ordinary means of grace. Again, this is the primary way the Lord is equipping us for this calling. It's not as though we need to leave church and go off to be specially trained for evangelism elsewhere and then come back to the church now better able to do this. It's actually being done and grown in the church. We also need to be very clear on what the gospel is and what the gospel is not. A lot of people, especially we'll hear it more in the South, just geographically, socially, the gospel becomes just about anything anybody wants to make it. Any act of love or social good But the gospel is clearly stated in Scripture, and that's what we need to be communicating to others and showing others to be the true way to salvation and life and righteousness. Pray for yourself that you would have a pure heart and your presence would be loving in all that you do, but especially in something like evangelism. We don't want to be a stumbling stone for others. We want to be winsome in our talk. And especially in how we're walking and living before others. It kind of seems obvious, but share Christ with your family and friends. This is to be done from a fear of the Lord, and again, not a fear of man. Sometimes we can back away from that, or we can become very aggressive and dogmatic, and we're not sharing the gospel, we're just debating, and there is a difference. And again, that can come from a fear of wanting to win, not be winsome. Share with others at church, right here in the body, relationships that the Lord has brought into your life where you are seeking someone else's salvation, and ask them to be praying for these things by name, very carefully, very intentionally. And then if that's happening and you do know someone, follow up with them in that and continue encouraging them in that. It can be disheartening for us. We're weak. And over time, someone we know close or love very, very well that still just has not come to Christ, that can just become heavier and heavier on us. And we just grow very sad in that because we love them. We want what is best for them. Well, we as a church continue to come around them and encourage them and support them and saying, you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, and continue on in that. So that's that. A couple of resources. I know I wasn't supposed to do too many resources, but I did. A couple of resources. Back to the kind of the beginning of the covenant. This is a little book. They're all fairly little books. It's called Family Worship by Donald Whitney. Helpful, just addressing why people don't do family worship, and then also giving very, very careful biblical picture for family worship, and then some practical help in doing family worship. Joel Beakey put together Family Worship Bible Guide, right? So this is going to be helpful for reading a passage, having a kind of a few observations, praying through passages of Scripture, and just to do this as a family. Again, I'd let those kinds of things supplement or just be additions to page 7. And the only reason I say that is because page 7 in the worship journal it's intentional to what we're doing Sunday mornings. And so there is a uniqueness to that. Mark Dever wrote a really helpful book called Discipling, How to Help Others Follow Jesus. This is a really helpful one. It reminds you what discipling is and what it is not. And then also give some practical help for relationships where you are discipling others. More in line with evangelism, what is the gospel? Again, wanting to be very careful and clear on what that actually is and what it is not. That's Greg Gilbert, What is the Gospel? Almost done. Halfway done. Conversion by Michael Lawrence is very helpful, especially for parents who are trying to understand or watch their child's hearts to see is there fruits? Is there real evidence? Are they just showing just kind of a general good obedience, or do they love the Lord and are pursuing Him? So, How God Creates a People is conversion. Evangelism by J. Max Stiles, How the Whole Church Speaks of Jesus. This is going to be helpful, keeping it in the context of the church, but also maybe just answering a couple other questions. There's a lot of people who do evangelism a lot of different ways today. This might help kind of rein that in some if you are having questions. The last one is a little bit more theological, but it was just a really encouraging book. It's called Evangelism and the Sovereignty of God. It's J.I. Packer. Again, a little book, but worth reading at least once or twice at some point in your life. So that's all. If you have questions about those, I've got the stack and I can show you again. We've got a couple minutes. Any other comments or from either of you guys, any of you guys, or questions?